my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I'm Julie Gould, and this is the Science Mamas podcast, where we'll be sharing tales and tips from the lives of mamas in science. Unlike a lot of other science mamas, Bethany Kolbaba Kirchner majored in French when she first went to college, and then she started her family. She chose to stay at home to raise her six children. But when her youngest was two or three and she was 35, she decided to start her life as a science mama. So let's start her story when she's exploring what to do with her life.
I was thinking potentially about microbiology because that had been a class I had really enjoyed as an undergraduate. But then decided that I didn't like using a microscope. It made me dizzy. So I decided that that probably wasn't what I wanted to do. But something very related to that was biochemistry. And so I decided I wanted to be a biochemist. And I looked into the programs at Arizona State University and looked into what the prerequisites were for them to get into the biochemistry PhD, because I decided I want to get a PhD.
So that's what she did. She enrolled at a local community college and started the online classes.
And I took one class at a time for a few years, because that's all the time I had to devote, because I was still a very busy mother raising my children. I would get up at 4 a.m. to study so that I would get up before the kids got up.
4 a.m. people. 4 a.m. And she did this for a few years until all her children were at school. And at that point, she started going to college and taking university classes. And here she became interested in research.
And so as an undergraduate, I got into a lab, and it happened to be a lab where they were working on proteins. And I basically fell in love with proteins and protein engineering and working with them, and applied for the PhD program. I was very, very nervous about applying for the PhD program. I didn't think I would make it. But I did. I got in and I was thrilled and continued to work in the lab that I was working in as an undergraduate. Now it has been about 11 years since I started, and I am a year away from finishing my PhD. Fingers crossed.
What a story. Oh my goodness. You are superwoman.
I don't know.
Your dedication to this is incredible.
Yeah. It was, wow. I look back and I think, how did I get up at 4 a.m. for that long a time? I don't remember how I did it, but it was because I really loved the topic and I really loved what I was doing, because I remember we were on vacation and we were staying in a home and I had to study, and I got up again at 4 a.m. before everyone else got up on vacation, and I was in the closet. And I was reading about ribosomes and protein translation. And I just was like, this is something I absolutely love. And I'm just like, I feel so happy right now. So I know it was the right decision for me.
Before this, it's not like you weren't working, right? Mm-hmm. You were being a mom to six children. Mm-hmm. Like, that is hard work. So this is definitely a career change. When people make transitions like this, you know, it's really hard to do without a support network. How did you manage working through this and doing all of this? Like, did you have a support network? Did you have a support system in place? Like, how did you manage it, both emotionally and physically?
That is a great question, because I think that is the key to making a career change, is how you handle it emotionally and how your network is and how strong your network is. So I would divide a network into two parts: a local part, which would consist of a partner or spouse. I was very lucky to have and still have a very supportive spouse and very supportive parents, and my children are also very supportive, because they are making a sacrifice when I leave to go work in the lab. They don't have access to me as much as they would when I was a stay-at-home mother. And so that local network is extremely important. And also I would say the local network also consists of friends and kind of like the family you build around you. And they were extremely important. There were many times where I came home very frustrated, because science is very difficult. And there were topics that were frustrating to me to grasp. And I very frequently thought, maybe this is not the best route for me. And would very frequently have these conversations with my husband, like, maybe this is too much. Maybe this is too much for the family. Maybe I can't do this. And he definitely kept me going and supported me completely. And we had always a very equal marriage. But when I got more involved in science and more involved in my PhD, he ended up taking on more of the housework and more of the emotional work of raising a family. And that was extremely helpful. I don't think I could have done it without him.
The other type of support network that Bethany relied on was an indirect one. It was the stories she'd heard about others who were like her, who had a family and then started a career, or those who were working and who had children. These are the role models that people seek, the role models we can relate to.
One story that I heard that was really helpful to me, and I keep coming back to it when I'm kind of in a low spot, was, and I don't remember her name, I don't remember many details of this woman scientist, engineer, and she has 6 children. And she got some sort of award, and I don't even remember what podcast I heard this story on. But the fact that she had 6 children and she was a successful scientist and getting awards was extremely motivating to me. And I thought, that's me. And if she can do it, I can do it.
Starting a new career from scratch when you have responsibilities comes with many, many challenges. And Bethany knew this before she got started.
I foresaw that my children would need to be more self-sufficient. And would need to be able to handle, for example, coming home on their own and maybe some basic tasks like doing their own laundry or making their own snacks and things. So I had a plan and taught them all those types of things that they would need to know to be more self-sufficient and worked on that. I also got the help of my husband, who has been able to get a little bit more flexible work schedule. And so that's been very helpful because he can kind of pick up someone or handle the, you know, repairman who comes once in a while. The other thing I did was I prepared myself. So I got very serious about my time management skills and read a lot of different books about time management and listened to podcasts and things to get little tips. And so I put those tips into my life so that I would have more time to work in the lab and to do my studies. I also am very, very organized in the lab. I make sure that I plan my day very closely, but also giving myself some wiggle room for surprises. So I guess I would say I plan my day 80%. And so when 20% of things pop up, I can handle them. I do also a lot of flexible work where I'll go in on the weekends or I'll work it in the evenings in the summer. For example, if my kids are home all day, I'll work in the evenings. So that's been very helpful too.
What is your experience of being a mum and being within academia been? Like, have you had sort of negative experiences? Have people, like, you know, has there been any like undercurrents of discrimination towards you in any way for being a mother and, like, you know, having to not be in the lab for whatever reason, you know, like all the sort of undercurrent horrible things that people have experienced in the past? Have you had any of that, or has it all been, you know, super supportive? You're amazing.
I was very worried about that when I first started and kind of didn't really talk about my role as a mother at first when I was first starting in the lab and starting my path towards getting my PhD and in science. However, it does come out, you know, people, when you have to leave for something, you know, it comes out that you're a mother. And I have had such wonderful supportive experiences with both my principal investigator, as well as other faculty members around me. I have never felt discriminated against because I'm a mother. And I feel like everyone is rooting for me and cheering me on and been extremely helpful.
So, on to a last piece of advice. I have spoken to lots of early career researchers over the years, many of whom have asked about starting a family whilst also continuing their career in science. I know Bethany's situation is a little bit different in that she's already had all her children before starting out as a scientist, but that doesn't mean that this little gem of advice about mum guilt isn't useful for absolutely everyone who is a parent or who would like to be a parent.
That is a challenge that I definitely faced, was the mom guilt. I think the best advice that I got about that was from another woman scientist that I met at a conference, Jane Clark. She's now the president of Wolfson College. And we happened to start chatting about things, and I found out that she also started her career as a scientist later in life, like me. And she was kind of towards the end of her career as a scientist and was transitioning into being the president of a college. And so I asked her, what would you tell your younger self at the beginning of your scientific career? And she said to me, and it was really, really powerful to me, and actually like made me cry, because it was like she, you know, touched a nerve and knew exactly what I needed to hear. And that was, I would tell myself that the children are just fine. They're doing fine. And that meant a lot to me, because my children also were doing fine, but you always worry as a mother about everything. If you're doing a good enough job as a mother, if you are a good mother, if you needed to, you know, spend more time with them, or what, you just worry about everything. Are they eating enough vegetables? Are they, you know, all those little things that you're responsible for as a mother are always on your mind. And when she said that, I was like, you're right. The children are fine and they're going to be fine. And sure enough, my kids are doing great. And letting go of that guilt and that worry is not helping them in any way. And it's not helping me in any way. If there is a problem that I need to address as a mother in raising my children, worrying about it isn't going to address it. It's just kind of wasted energy. And so I think it's better to maybe, if there is a problem, to face it head on, as opposed to wasting that energy on worry. And so when I did start to worry, I would say, is there really a basis for this? Do I really need to be concerned about this? Or is this just me being kind of silly? And so whenever I decided it was me kind of being silly, I would kind of redirect my thoughts to something more productive, because that mother guilt is not productive for anyone.
Agreed. It is a horrendous feeling, mm-hmm. and it's hard to shake, but you're mm-hmm. right. The kids will be just fine.
The kids will be just fine. A huge thank you to Bethany Kolbaba-Kirchner for taking the time to chat for the Science Mamas podcast, and also for taking the time to work behind the scenes on writing the blogs that you see with every episode on this podcast. So really, double thank you to Bethany. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll be back soon with another insight into what it's really like to be a science mama. Bye.
I love my science mama.